From the book of Hebrews, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." How big is your faith? Is it big enough to walk on water? Here's Mike McIntosh with more.
But I've learned that you have to be flexible to be used. And sometimes people don't get used simply because they're not willing to step out in faith. Out of the 12, only Peter had the faith to get out of the boat. And out of the 12, from what we know, Peter is the biggest klutz of them all. But at least he had faith to get out.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Spending time in prayer and the reading of God's Word helps us to deflect the negative and harmful seeds of the world. As we continue our in-depth look into the Gospel of Mark, this is day two of a study we've titled Sowing and Reaping. In 1 John, we're told that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Satan is always out trying to sow bad seeds in our lives. Perhaps it's discouragement or anger or bitterness. We must allow the seeds of love and forgiveness that the Holy Spirit is trying to sow take root in our hearts. Let's join Mike now as he continues in Mark chapter 4.
The Lord allows me to be called on at times. And there's times when it wouldn't be a good idea for him to call on me. But the more you love him, it's not that we love him more. It's just that the more we love him, it just seems like the more he loves us. But his love is so rich and so deep. It's not that his love is increasing because we're getting more spiritual. I think his love is full power on from the moment we accept him, but it's overwhelming to us, like the parables were. And it's not that God has the essence of love or the aroma of love or the poetic theme of love. 1 John chapter 4 says God is love. He is love. And that's hard for many people because they have not known love. They don't understand how to give love. These parables should make you think in parables at times. There's a scripture that I found very early that was so bizarre. David in the Psalm says, "I sit alone on a housetop like a sparrow." That's kind of innocuous. There's nothing. I sit alone. But if you've ever sat alone and watched a sparrow who's alone, you can learn a lot. Our house has, every spring, lots and lots of baby birds being born. They build nests all through our eaves outside our dining room glass there. We just discovered one that we'd never seen before in our front yard in a tree, a little tiny hummingbird nest. And this little mama bird, she's just looking, always looking, that big pointed beak going out there. But the egg was smaller than the fingernail. She is so beautiful and yet so protective. One day we had a bird flying back to the nest, and out of nowhere, we live next to a canyon, and there's all sorts of animals that come trotting by now and then. We had a cougar, wildcat one day, just going by, "Hello, McIntoshes." And the other way went this big coyote. He was a big guy, and he was trotting along, man. He had a swagger like he would have been a hip-hop guy in the streets. We've had skunks, raccoons, mice, you name it. But out of nowhere, we were sitting at the table, and over to the corner is where these small birds get, because there's an eave over it and hard to be attacked there. But from nowhere, as this mommy bird was, I saw her coming, a hawk, a red-tailed hawk with a span about that wide, dove right towards our windows, missed her, and knocked her against the wall with his wings. Ah, man, that's a rowdy guy. I was studying one Saturday outside, and all of a sudden, I didn't hear any noise. I just felt, boom, something. You know, I turned. I thought I was going to have to fight someone. And it was a hawk. He was just messing with my melon. He came out of the sky. He came from behind me. and he hit my shoulder and then went straight up like a rocket, just to show that he could do it. There's no other reason. He was just smarting off. Sorry. Another day, I learned a lesson from a duck. I was sitting with the back to the swimming pool. I had my Bible, and I was writing notes for the Sunday message. And I heard, quack, 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 quack. And I said, what in the world? A duck? Where's the duck? And I looked, directly behind me was a duck. Now, I've been a pilot flying planes for many years. And it was almost like he was on Final Approach. He had his flaps down, the wings were coming like that. Quack, quack, quack. His big gold shoes, his big rubber feet there. Quack, quack, quack. His landing gear's down, his flaps are down. And he's, quack, get out of my way, get out of my way, he's saying. He lands in the pool, like at the end of the runway where you're supposed to land, not in the middle of the pool. And then he taxied. Quack, 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 quack. The engine's going down. Quack, 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 quack. And he paddles up to me and goes, quack. And then he turned around, went back. And sat there. I said, Sandy, you're not going to believe it. And he said, yes, I will. I just had a 747 duck land in our pool. What? I said, look out there. So within 3 or 4 days, this duck came and left. But on the fourth day, he brought his girlfriend. And she was going to have babies. He was just checking out our swimming pool and what kind of a guy I was. If I was going to get my shotgun and say hello, or if I was just going to taxi anytime you want, just don't do anything in the pool, please. And she had apparently, they were there for about 6 or 8 weeks, coming and going. And we had a hunting dog at that time, a German Weimaraner, and every time she'd see him, she'd go, she's ready to get that now, you can't do it. So one day, I'm out in the backyard, watering the bushes and stuff, and I walk in the house, and so the dog is with me, Kayla is her name, and she's always by my side. Just didn't really train her, she just was one dog from heaven, for sure. And as we turned the corner from the living room, here was that duck in our house. And this duck was waddling, had, you know how they look from the back, big fan and big rump, and he's walking along. He has no idea if we're behind him. The hunting dog stops and looks, and then looks up at me like saying, is there a duck in our house right now? So the duck, we said, hey buddy, what are you doing? And freaked him out. He ran into the windows. We opened, got him out of there. Now you're wondering, what is the moral to that story? Right? It's a quack up. No, we learn from the Lord through everything, and it doesn't have to be fitting in the square box. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So why do we try to organize things our way when he may have a different dimension that he's aware of that he wants us to go into with him? So these parables, they're very, very important for us, that he wants to tell us the answer. Do you, verse 13... do you not understand this parable? Now that's sad. Those four words. Do you not understand? And what is it you may not understand tonight about the Lord? How then, if you can't understand this, will you understand all the parables? So he tells them. The sower sows the word. That's what the seed is. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, notice this, Satan comes, and there's our word again that you're memorizing and circling, right? Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. It's by the wayside. It's in the ditch. It's just over here to the side. And you have friends like that. Oh, the emotional thing was so high that night, and they raise their hand or they walk forward out onto the field. But they're a little bit off. And they didn't get grounded and rooted. And the devil immediately comes and says, you didn't really do anything last weekend at that crusade or that concert or Sunday when you went to church. That's nothing. And you see your friend who you had so much hope for to fall away immediately. So that's 25% of the seed. It's taken away by Satan directly. These likewise are the ones who sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, and there it is again, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, they're so happy to be born again. But they have no root in themselves. They're not willing to go to the Bible studies and hear the pastor teach. They're not willing to go to a prayer meeting. They're not really givers or generous. They're selfish. And they're not going to give any money away. And they don't want to waste their time going to Bible studies at people's houses. There's no root in themselves. And remember, our first night, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, the mindset, the heart set of the people in the days before the rapture and before the great tribulation. Number one, they shall be lovers of self. And that's this person. There's no root in themselves. They love themselves so much they can't disrupt the life they're having by being a disciplined woman or a disciplined man in the faith. It is hard to be a Christian. Pastor Chuck always said, to be a martyr for Jesus Christ, to die for him, is easy. But another martyr is to live for him. And it is really hard to live for him. You ever found that difficult? You know, to be a martyr, okay, you're going to shoot me because I believe. Okay, but to be a martyr and say, I will lay my life down for you? That's... I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to do anything about it. And you don't want to be like that. There's a tremendous price paid for you. A price that the angels are stunned over. Why the Lord Jesus, the King of all kings, would die for somebody like you and me who is made out of clay. And the great danger we face the world today, coming from many of the international leading scientists, is AI, artificial intelligence. Everything that comes out is usually perverted right away. And artificial intelligence is able to design itself with its own parameters. It is able to make itself a duplicate. And recently, a man leading up to the 4th of July in Texas bought time or space on Google, Facebook, and some places. He was rejected off the fourth time it came on, one day, next day, next day, the fourth day. It was rejected because it was offensive hate speech. The Declaration of Independence is hate speech. You get it? It means somebody has already programmed artificial intelligence that to be American is not going to be acceptable at some point in time. And they made a mistake for that message going out. It's hate speech. And it is in opposition to the homosexual community. So there are parameters of the New World Order that does not have you or me in it. Well, I thank God because we're going to be raptured any hour now. But I want you to know, if there weren't a God and you were just a nice person that was a Christian man or a Christian woman, just a good person, and you believed and you went to church and you took communion once a year and you never did a Bible study in your life, but you liked the liturgy of your church, you're not going to make it. So since we know the war is on, why in the world do we just want to sit around? This is the time for revival and spiritual awakening in our country before it is judged. And it's you and me, the body of Christ, throughout all 50 states and all U.S. territories that need to start praying like never before for this country. We used to be the number one resource for child exploits in Asia and other parts of the world. Men would go around the world on business and they would get involved in these things. We were the number one resource for the filthy people that take children and allow these things to happen. But do you know now that the USA is a source? It's not just a resource. It's a source. I was in a meeting one time with law enforcement. And I was helping a law firm for the first year that I wasn't pastoring. And I spent a year researching human trafficking at all different levels. interacting with the FBI and the U.S. Coast Guard and different agencies, and really got some broad pictures of what was going on. But you know, we discovered in San Diego that the pedophiles came to San Diego as a source, and it always happened, basically, not always, but basically happened this way. Mother, divorced, two children, 32, 34 years old, whatever, gives her description, looking for friendship. And a weirdo gets online, starts talking, and then says, I'll come and take you to dinner. And then starts courting her, coming in town every month when he has time. But he's never after her. He's after the four kids. There are a lot of vulnerable people that have no clue of how close they are to being ripped off, let alone spiritually ripped off. False doctrine is coming into the county of San Diego like crazy. And many of the men that are involved in it are men that I trained. And they got a little big for their britches when they went out on their own and got a little success. And now it is sad to see the snares and the traps. And it's happening all over the country right now. Big name people being destroyed. And in Iraq, we learned from two trips there. One was with the members of Kurdish Parliament, the General Secretary, and the people over the Christian minority religions of Iraq. That Iraq, they found out in interrogations that ISIS did not fear our weapons, our drones, our cannons, our jets, our bombers. The only thing they really feared was the American church. And when they started beheading pastors, they began to think, hey, we got something going here. When they started burning Christian families, when they filled the playgrounds with boys and girls that the Muslim kids told ISIS were Christian kids, they realized that they were going to step up their plan for America. Why? Because there was not one voice of resistance from the church or the Christian community against what was going on of the genocide of Christians. So there's a world we live in that is already hostile to what you and I live and believe. It is not a righteous, it's a self-righteous world. It's a world that's made of things that are unseen, the atomic structure. And you and I need to understand parables so we can understand fake news and real news. That we can understand, we can read between the lines and realize, I'm going to get three friends on the phone, we're going to pray right now, we're going to intercede right now. That's why it's important for you to go beyond your regular understanding, because God doesn't think like us. Higher than the heavens up there are God's thoughts from the earth. And they're billions of light years distance. So why would we think we have all the answers? As long as we got Jesus and he has all the answers, we're going to do okay. But the minute we get away from Jesus, we're in big trouble. So learn these parables if you've never learned them, and let them minister to your heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, a great experience. They have no root in themselves, so they endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake, there's the word again, immediately. That's three immediately's, and we've only spoken of three seeds. When problems come for the sake of the word, they stumble and fall. Now, these are the ones among the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in, choke out the word in our life, and it becomes unfruitful. How many friends do you know that got caught up in materialism or got caught up in the things of this world, and what they had from the Lord was choked out? The cares of the world. The cares. Doesn't mean you can't have things, but it means the care. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the care, the love of it that brings evil about. So don't ever let what you want or care or think about in this world overpower your sentences that say, I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being whipped for me. I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I thank you, Jesus, for looking after me. I thank you, Jesus, for giving me mercy and forgiveness, understanding and knowledge. Whenever the cares of anything gets bigger than your prayer time with the Lord, you're in trouble. Stay close to Him. These are wicked and evil days. And you and I need to be about our Father's business. He's calling us to serve Him. And unfortunately, people aren't as smart as the animals, because those animals came from all over the area, walked in two by two, organized. They heard God calling that judgment was coming, and they got on that ark. But no people got on other than Noah and his wife, Joan of Arc, and then their three sons, and then those three sons' wives. So we have a lot of people that believe they came from a monkey or they're a monkey's uncle, but that's not going to get them into heaven. So you and I need to love them and help them see how much God loves them and how much He forgives them. So then the last one, the cares of the world. These are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And also He said to them, that's tremendous fruit. Now this last week, I was up in the Poconos with a group of men, the council from the Calvary Chapel Association that Pastor Chuck picked, and we, for the first time, called the regional directors from all over the world and began hearing what they wanted to talk about. But, you know, it just got a little bit overwhelming of hearing what's happening just in Colombia, the number of new churches that are being birthed. There's this one area in the Amazon has 500,000 tribal people living in it, and there are no churches there. But the representative from Colombia is working and training men that they're going to go into that one specific area. There are other areas of the Amazon working with tribes and planting churches. It's just an amazing story. Then Peru popped up and said, well, over here we've got, and they began telling us about all the new churches that are popping up in Peru. And then in Germany, we found out there's 52 churches out there now, and God is working through Germany in the midst of all this ISIS stuff and the refugees. And we went on for a week of just hearing these fantastic stories of Jesus working through these men. And all of us go back to one seed, Pastor Chuck. And he's in heaven. And if it's anything like Amway, he keeps getting all these extra points going up to him to heaven. He told me one time he did not ever want to see me fail because I brought him lots of rewards when he goes to heaven. I said, that's really true love, Pastor Chuck. I appreciate that. But there's so much going on. But when our eyes and our hearts are heavy with the cares of this world, we don't see, we don't hear, just like he said. For those that don't see or hear, they won't understand. But those that are open, that God is different and magnificent and all-knowing, all-powerful, and He wants to bring you home. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. It's not precious to me when I lose a child or you lose a spouse, but to God it is, because He finally gets to see us and hug us. He loves us. And as He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I called you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah, do not tell me you can't speak for me. So none of us are accidents. He thought us out. He thought Jeremiah out. And He thought you out.
Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Any challenge facing us that appears hopeless is made more difficult by our attitude of uncertainty and unbelief. Trust God, recognize His presence, and see Him in the situation that surrounds you. Faith in His desire and ability to guide and direct and protect us unleashes His power in our lives. Well, in its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and we'll be devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know the daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com, and click on the teaching link, and then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Now let me invite you to join us next time as we continue our series through the Gospel of Mark, when once again the parables will be our topic. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.